How many Bibles in church tonight? When we were in the Philippines, these were scarce. And I preached at a college there in the Philippines, and they had two King James Bibles, and Genesis and Revelation were missing from them. You say, what were they doing with an English Bible? Well, they learn English in school. And the preacher even told me, you just go ahead and preach in English. About 90% of them will understand it. And so I preached in English. But there's a scarcity of the Bibles. There was even more of a scarcity of gospel tracts. Now, we have 13 mail centers in the United States. What's that? That's a center that sends out tracts for us. There's 3 million of them in South Fort Worth at Bible Baptist Church. We were there this morning. And there is a dozen others across America. And they help us pay for about $100,000+ worth of postage every year. We bulk ship the tracts to them and then they send them out. Anyway, there's a shortage of the Word of God. There's a shortage of tracts. When we were in the Philippines, they had tract racks, just like most of the churches do. But there was no tracts in them. And I said to that one preacher, I said, you know, we send millions of tracts to the Philippines. Where are they all at? Oh, they don't last long, he says. Anyway, he says, we fill the tract racks up before Sunday school. And between Sunday school and church, they're completely emptied out. He said, we ration them. I'm not preaching yet. I'm just giving you some things that we have seen along the way. We was in a church in Georgia. That's the Bible Belt. And in the church, there was a tract rack in the back, and it was right next to the window. And every afternoon, the sun would come into that window. And I thought, them tracts look a little dull. Because I know what they look like when we seen them coming off the press at the Fellowship Tract League. And I took the one off the front, and it was dull because the sun hit it. It was faded. So I'd done, some would say, an unethical thing. I put a little dot in the upper left-hand corner on about a dozen of them because I knew we were coming back the next year. Would you believe, 1 year later, some of those tracks with the dot in the upper left-hand corner were still there. Some of those Filipinos that were at a Bible college in Marietta, Ohio, said, what's the matter with the people in America? They just aren't that excited about the Word of God. So that's just the way it is. One of them asked me, is it that way at all the churches? I says, pretty much so. And it's sad. And one asked me, are those people really saved? I think I mentioned earlier, are they really saved? I said, well, some are, and some have never grown. And some, Matthew 7:21 says, not all that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in. So anyway, I get to travel and preach and tell folks, hey, let's be excited about the Word of God. I was telling some of the folks, we have 650 orders every week at the Fellowship Tract League for gospel tracts. I'm thankful that there's that many individuals, there's that many churches that want the gospel tracts. And so I've said many times, if you don't carry gospel tracts, you won't pass gospel tracts. So get into the habit of carrying some. Put them in your glove compartment, ladies in your purse, and fellas in our suits, and just carry them. Because then we'd have some ammunition. And you never know when you're going to need it. Say amen right there. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans. We'll start there, and we'll give you a few other verses along the way. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. We'll read a few verses from the book of Romans, chapter number 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That parallels over to most of the preachers that we meet, as they want their church to be saved. They want to reach out into the community and them also get saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Did you know that there's so many people, as I witness the past tracts every week somewhere, a lot of people think that, well, if I do more good than harm, maybe the Lord's going to save me. No, We are all sinners. And if we got what we deserve, we'd all be in hell. But thank God for Jesus who died on the cross for all of our sins. We were with a preacher in Michigan some time back, and he was talking to about 50 of us preachers who were there at a preacher fellowship. And he said, "Y'all look real nice. Y'all dressed up nice." He said, "But I want to tell you something. Every one of you is rotten to the core." Boy, some of the fellows I don't think liked it very well. But he says, "You are. And if you got what you deserve, you'd be in hell. But by the grace of..." And if you're saved tonight, you can wave at me if you're saved. If you're saved tonight, you're going to heaven because of what He has done, not what we have done. So I want to share with you some of the things that's happened at Fellowship Tract League. And I want you to look first at that scripture. We just read a few verses. In fact, 1, 2, and 3 of John, or Romans chapter 10. But look down at verse number 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Preacher, would you pray for me before I preach with you? Amen.
The great churches, stars.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. Well, can we say that the Word of God is powerful?
Yes.
We have witnessed many times. I had it in Tulsa, Oklahoma, some time back. I'd taken my wife to the mall again. And as we were at the mall there, I went to one of the areas in the middle of the mall. And I was sitting there just kind of like I'm going to do right now, just sitting there relaxing, you know, kind of half asleep. And it was in one of those little easy seats that where there's room for somebody to plop down next to me. And that's what happened. The fellow plopped down next to me. He's probably 18, 20 years old. He said, "Hey, man, how you doing?" I didn't have to pray, "Lord, do I witness to this guy?" I said, "If I was doing any better, I'd be in heaven. Matter of fact, I'm on my way and enjoying the journey." He heard what I said. He says, "You ain't going to know that till you die." I said, "I know it right now." So I started in witnessing to him. And started through the Romans Road and telling him how he could know he's going to heaven when he died. And got about halfway through. And he says, "Hey, you guys, come on over here." And he had about five friends that were wandering around. Some of them were Hispanic. Some were black. I'm thankful I stand before you tonight that Jesus loves them all.
Amen.
And we have some black friends. I told him, I said, "You know, I'm not prejudiced." I says, "I spent 3 weeks... 3 weeks in Jamaica. I was in the minority there." Anyway, you want to hear the rest of the story? So the other fellas come and join him. And by the way, I move around when I preach. I'm sorry if you don't like that. That's just the way God's given me to do it. And a lady got mad at me one day. She said, "Don't you know what that's for?" I said, "That's to look at my notes every once in a while." But anyway, I started in and I had a captive audience. But I'll tell you what, when those other five sat down, I had six boys.
Amen.
And, of course, then they had some ammunition. He started telling them, "Hey, this guy thinks he's going to heaven now. He knows he's going to heaven. I told him he ain't going to know that till he dies. He says he knows it now." I says, "If I could show you from the Bible that you can know it now, would you believe it?" "Oh, yeah, they believe the Bible." Boy, that was a plus right at the beginning. So I started in, and I said, "Hey, the Bible says," and I gave him 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know."
Amen.
Doesn't say hope so. A lot of people, they hope they're going to heaven. If you're saved tonight, you can know it and have a peace in your heart if you know it. And you're going, not because you're good, but because He's good and because He died for you.
Amen.
Anyway, I started in, and what really worked, are you listening? Now, the first point of the message was it's powerful. So I started in. I said, "You know, if you boys don't know for sure that you're born again, the Bible says you must be..." And I preached to them for a while. They knew what it meant by this time. The Bible says you must be born again. If you're not born again, then you're going to burn in hell. Now, you see, what did I have to lose? I wasn't going to take an offering. I wasn't in church. I wasn't preaching real loud, but I was looking around for them security guards, but they weren't around anywhere. And so, after I started talking about hell, I said, you can heckle me all you want to. But says, when you die, you'll be in one of two places, either in heaven or hell. And if you don't know that you're going to heaven, you're headed for hell. And I explained to him how that, hey, we all deserve hell. We're going to heaven because of what Jesus has done. Preach the gospel to him.
Amen.
Would you believe about 15 minutes that sobered up? First point of the message is powerful. If we would believe that with all of our heart, give somebody the word of God. It's powerful.
Amen.
And I says, well, do any of you want to change your address from hell to heaven? You can do that if you really realize Jesus died for you. Every one of them said, yeah, yeah.
Amen.
Now you say, did they all get saved? That's God's business. I gave the gospel. They responded. I prayed with all six of them. But if just one of them got saved, wouldn't it have been worth it?
Right.
And nobody stopped us. And I gave them all a gospel tract and told them who I was. And told them they needed to find a church that preached the gospel and tell people how to go to heaven. And they assured me they would. But, you know, when you're witnessing like that in a state, you know, I'm not from Oklahoma. But I gave them the precious word of God. And that's the next point. It's powerful and it's precious. I mean, to me, I'm thankful that I can stand before you this evening. This is the most precious thing I have right here. I bought a whole case of these Bibles from John Powell in near Akron, Ohio. About 30 years ago, I got in front of my Bible when I start using it. Amen. 1988. Yeah, that 30 years. Over 30 years. This is my precious possession. I get it out every morning, and I read in it, and God speaks to me through His Word. You say, well, you're a preacher. You ought to read it every day. Did you know there's no double standard in the Bible? God wants us all. Study to show thyself approved. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God wants all of us to grow in the Lord. You don't have to go find the preacher or a deacon or somebody when there's somebody to witness to. You just go ahead and do that yourself. And there's people in church, you don't even figure on ever leading anybody to the Lord. You say, how do you know that? Preaching in independent Baptist churches all across America, you never pray this prayer. Lord, fill me with your Spirit that I may win someone to the Lord today.
Amen.
How come you're so quiet? Because it's the truth. But if that book ever becomes the most precious thing in your life, and you see people's lives changed because of it, maybe we'd be more excited that we have it. And share it with the lost world around us. We were in Canton, Texas, a few years ago with another singing family. They're called the Rochesters. Anybody ever heard of the Rochester family from Blacksburg? They're very close friends of ours. And so Harold and Joyce went with Mary and I to a restaurant. And we sat down in the restaurant. And three Mexicans came and sat right next to us. Now, I just have made it a practice to carry these kind of things.
Yes.
You can't read that, can you?
Yes.
Huh? She knows Spanish?
No.
No. But you can see it's Spanish, huh?
Because
when you say Dios, what is Dios?
God.
So I said to the one that could speak poquito English, Dios la bendiga. He says, igualmente. That's the same to you. And so I started witnessing to him, but he couldn't talk a whole lot of English, so I decided I'll give all three of them the gospel tract. And it isn't that I just so happen to have them. I carry them all the time. They are the easiest folks in America to witness to. Even if they got mad and don't speak English, they could cuss me out and I wouldn't even know it. But they don't do that. They're the most kindest people that I've ever met. The people in America that speak English, they're the ones that have gotten upset a time or two. But all three of them took all three of these tracts. And while we were eating, we watched them read all three of those tracts. And the one that could speak a little bit of English, he was watching for me. Of course, it was a buffet restaurant, so I went back to the bar, food bar, that is, amen. And as I walked by him, he could speak a little English. He was just so serious. He looked at me and grabbed me by the shoulder. He said, "Sir, would you pray with me? I don't want to go to hell." I said, "Yes, sir, I would pray with you." They already got the gospel from the tracts. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I stood there in the restaurant, and there was 20, 30 people looking on. But hey, it was important because their lives was hanging in the balance.
Right.
So I prayed for them. The other two, no English, but they bowed their heads and was respectful. And I prayed that God had spoke to their heart, and that they were genuinely saved. And the other two pointed at the decision on the back. So the word of God is powerful.
Amen.
And the word of God is precious. Anybody like some Spanish tracts? Oh, there you are, right there. There you got some more. Amen. And there's some more on the back table back there. Okay, so the Fellowship Tract League printing these tracts, shipping them all over the world. There's not enough time for me to read all the letters and tell you how that the Word of God is predictable. You get the Word of God out, you'll have some stories to tell. I've had people write out and say, "Well, what is this?" I says, "It's a gospel tract." "Well, what's that?" I says, "A few verses from the Bible that will tell you how you can know that you're going to heaven." "Can we know that?" "Yes, we can know that." "Do you know you're going to heaven tonight in church?" "Wave at me."
Amen.
See, we can know that. Why? The Bible says it.
That's right.
So it's powerful. It's precious. It's predictable. But I want to go back one more point and tell you, we met people that the Word of God was so precious to them. We were in Moscow, Russia. There was five of us there. And missionaries, there was a missionary that was there, and then there was three of us preachers there, and my wife. And we rented a theater in Moscow. And we shipped, 700 and some Bibles to Moscow. They were hardcovers, like this hymn book, in the Russian language. And we had it advertised all over Russia that they that would come to that meeting in the theater would receive a free Bible in the Russian language. That interested them. And there's people coming, a lot of lost people, because that night there was 80 people that wanted to be saved.
Amen.
I don't know how many people were there, but 80 of them. And you try to lead 80 people to the Lord with one interpreter. We've done the best we could. But there was one fella, he says they learn English in the schools in Moscow. So the one fella could speak English, and he kept waiting around. He wanted to talk to me. He kept waiting around until most of the people had left, and that pile of Bibles that we had in the foyer had dwindled down to just a few. And he's walking around with that Russian Bible, and once in a while he'd look at it. Finally, most people were gone. He'd come up to me, and, "You want to help me? I need you to help me, okay? You stand right over there. So you're going to be me, okay? So I'm going to demonstrate what he did to me." Scared the daylights out of me. He laid the Bible down. "And now you're going to be me, okay? So just, this is for illustration. You're going to be me." And he come up to me, and he grabbed me by my lapels. He said, "Thank you. Thank you for coming to our country. I know about God, but I didn't know Jesus left heaven to come die for me. Thank you for coming and tell us about it." Tears running down his face.
Amen.
Thank you. I use that when I say the Word of God is precious. He took that Bible, and after he had thanked me for coming, I can still see him at the door of that theater. And he opened it up, and he was looking at it. Do we love the Word of God that much? Do we love the Word of God that much? Well, it gets quiet, because some of us, we didn't even read it today. We heard it preached, but you didn't read it for yourself. You say, "How do you know that?" Because people come to me, you know what they'll say? Hey, you preached that for me tonight. I used to read the Bible every day, but I'm going to get back to it. Amen. Are we having a good time in church?
Amen.
If we are not challenged to serve God to a greater capacity, then why have church? Amen. So 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace. So we're commending you as well as challenging you. We're commending you because you have joined ranks with us in getting the Word of God all over the world. And so the first point was, it's powerful, it's precious, and it's predictable. So in telling you that it's predictable, listen to this. With a name like Mohammed Bello, you can guess what religion he was. But he's from Africa. And he said, Dear Fellowship Track League, sir, I greet you all. Thank you for this track, all this I did for thee. This is to let you know that now I believe in Jesus.
Amen.
And I want him to be my Lord and Savior. I now know the Lord Jesus through this missionary that gave me this track from Fellowship Track League. I want to know more about Jesus. So if you could send me some more tracks and Christian books, I would appreciate it very much. Thank you for your good work. Sincerely, Mohammed Bello. And then he has a P.S. I was a Muslim, but I'm now a Christian.
Amen.
Has anybody here led a Muslim to the Lord? One. It don't happen very often. And I've witnessed to them, but they're so steeped in their tradition, just like this other one here. I have one from a Jehovah's Witness. How many has ever led a Jehovah's Witness to the Lord? That's a difficult thing. But this man, well, I'll just read you the letter. I was a member of the Jehovah's Witness Church. But one day while walking downtown, I found this tract. And then after reading it, I bought a Bible, believed in the Savior, repented of my sins, got baptized, and now I walk in the light. It's been years now. And I have friends that are still Jehovah's Witnesses, but I would love to win them to the Lord. Do you still print the tract for Jehovah's Witnesses? At that time, it was called Three Lies That the Jehovah's Witnesses Will Tell You. We changed the title, Three Truths That Every Jehovah's Witness Should Know, but on the inside, it tells the lies. Jesus was not a prophet or a good man, even though he was a good man. He's God.
Amen.
They don't believe that. But we believe it. Amen.
Amen.
He left the splendors of heaven, knowing his destiny. But he came willingly to die for you and me. So it's powerful, it's precious, it's predictable. It's to be propagated. So when your preacher preaches about going out soul winning, going knocking on doors, hey, means you. You. Aren't you glad you come to church tonight? You found out you're in the ministry. I'll prove it from the Word of God. Go to the book of Ephesians. Are you ready for this? The book of Ephesians, chapter number 4 and verse number 11 says, And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. That didn't include your pastor and I. For this reason, the next verse tells us, for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry. He wants us to grow in the Lord and witness a lost world around us. And who will he use? Anybody that's willing to be used. Aren't you glad then you come to church, you found out you're in the ministry? Because the perfecting of the saints, that when you see that word perfection, that's a growing up, maturing of the saints of God for the work of the ministry. Am I preaching it right? You preach it that way too, don't you? So all of us, hey, you find somebody, you tell somebody, hey, I know I'm going to heaven. You don't have to call the preacher. You can just tell them, yes, I know I'm going to heaven. And even if all you knew was 1 John 5:13, I know. And John 3:16, that'd be enough. And tell them what happened to you.
Yes.
And they just might want what you got. A couple more things and we'll be done. It's powerful, it's precious. It's predictable. You get the Word of God out, people will be saved. We were in a church in Lake Shore. I didn't tell that yet, did I? Shores of Lake Michigan, the southern shores of Lake Michigan. Sometimes I get to tell them stories. Did I tell that one already? No, didn't tell that one yet. Okay, so the shores of Lake Michigan had a tent meeting there, and a woman come up there. She says, "My friend and I were knocking on doors. Ladies' visitation. Now, some places they don't do it because it's getting dangerous, but they still did it then." And she says, "This crotchety old man came to the door." Anyway, she says, "He was just so angry that we were there, he grabbed the track out of my hands and he tore it up and threw it on the floor. He said, 'You ladies, get out of here. I don't want to see you again.'" She says, we left in tears. But she says, "I found myself praying for him in the next few weeks because that's a normal response for a lost person." And she says, "Then I found myself on his street about 3 weeks later. And she says, I just felt like the Lord was telling me, 'You go knock on his door again.'" She said, "He said, 'Lord, never to come back.'" But she says, "Finally, I did." And she says, "I knocked on the door. And the same man came to the door, but a totally different countenance. And he recognized me," she said. "And he said to her, 'I felt so ashamed of myself when you ladies left that I went out there on the porch and I picked up all those pieces of paper. And it was a gospel tract from your church. And I laid it on the kitchen table and scotch taped it together so I could read what you wanted to leave with me. And I read it over and over and over. And I realized you were just concerned about my salvation, about where I was going to go to heaven or not.'" He says, "So after reading it several times, several days went by, I asked the Lord to save me." Amen. "Because you were concerned about my soul." And he went up to her and thanked her again for coming back. She says, "I was so scared, but I'm so glad that I went back there." These are some of the things that people tell us about. Friends, if you would get so excited about the Word of God that you just put some in your pocket every time you leave the house, every time you go somewhere, those that carry tracks might pass them, but those that don't carry tracks will never pass them.
That's right.
And so if you would get excited about the Word of God, start doing it, I'm sure. God's Word says in Isaiah 55, verse 11, His Word will not return unto Him void.
That's right.
So you'd have some. Boy, that Mr. Martin over there sure looks like his daddy. I met him about 30 years ago, Milton Martin. He was on one of the first videos. We call it videos, but it was films from the Fellowship Track League. He loved Wash Pennington. He loved the Fellowship Track League. I know I'm chasing a rabbit now. One more. Titus, chapter number 2. And we'll be finished. And we will be at the back. And if you have some more questions, we'll stay here till the last one leaves and answer any questions you have about the Fellowship Track League. And we just want to say thank you again for partnering with us. In Titus chapter number 2, I'm going to read one sentence. So what is it? Is that the right time, 8:05? My, you still might even get on the tail end of the football game. Anyway, one more sentence and we're finished. Are you ready to listen? Titus chapter 2, one more sentence. If you see a period before I get done, then it's over. But it spans 4 verses. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Isn't that good? "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us." And it's something we can go all through the Word of God and says the same thing as John 3:16. He gave himself for us. Amen. "And purify unto himself a peculiar people." Now that's the last P. Are you willing to have people look at you and say, "Ah, that's that peculiar bunch over there at Metropolitan Baptist Church"? Are you willing to let them call you peculiar? We ought to be. Look what he's done for us. We ought to be willing to be called a peculiar people. "Zealous of good works." I witnessed to two of the workers at the motel. They were Spanish. They was excited that I had something in the Spanish language. And I gave each one about 3 or 4 Spanish tracts. They were so appreciative.
Amen.
Hey, I do that every day. That's just my life. Carry portions of the Word of God. And I got stories to tell. And hey, you young people can do it.
Amen.
Many times the young people are more enthused about doing the Lord's work than some of the adults.
Amen.
Well, once you caught the vision of coming up there and helping me, boy, you all jumped off just like that. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this church. Thank you, Lord, that they're involved in getting the Word of God out. Thank you for the pastor, all the people that are here tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd bless them special for being in the house of God. And then, Lord, as I turn the service over to the pastor, if someone has a need, Lord, that need could be met tonight. Lord, if there is someone that's not sure they're saved, Lord, help them to realize that they're not promised tomorrow, that they make sure of it before they leave. And then those of us as Christians that were challenged to serve God to a greater capacity, may they come bend their knee at an altar and say, Lord, help me do better. So thank you, Lord, for this church, the pastor, and all the folks that are here tonight. Bless them special for being here. And then meet with us special in the closing moments of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. With heads bowed, with eyes closed, I'll turn the service over to the pastor.
What a pleasure tonight. Hear the Word of God. Challenged, encouraged. Might we give heed to what we heard? As he mentioned, these altars are surely open. There may be. The Lord has spoken to your heart tonight. Be more involved in what He's doing, what He would be pleased to do through us. And so as Brother John leads us in a song, please, my only request is obey the Lord. Do what He would have you to do tonight. As we sing, Brother John? 337. As we sing, please obey the Lord. Join these ones in the altar.
On our way, while we do His good will, He abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sign or a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows, souls are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Amen. Brother DeLange had shared how long they've been involved with Fellowship Tract League in 40-some years, and I guess it's probably 40-some years I've been using Fellowship Tracks. And it's a blessing indeed. I'm so thankful that we've got to fill up that track rack on the other end of the building quite often. I know many of you take advantage of the opportunity to hand out tracks. And so I encourage you to continue to do that. The power of the Word of God, whether it's spoken, whether it's read, God will use His Word, as our brother shared. It will not return unto Him void. And I know that tracts were a part of my own salvation, bringing me to Christ. And so please, I encourage you, continue to use those tracts. Continue to witness and share the great grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's been good. Stop by at the table in the back and visit with the DeLanges. And it's good. Nobody's in a hurry to get out of here. You don't want to go watch the football game, do you? Nah. You know what? Next year we'll be thinking, who was in the Super Bowl last year? All right. Champions come and go. The gospel never changes. Amen. Brother John, come.
Let's be dismissed with our chorus. Grace, grace.